the Friday, yeah, Nairobi, Africa, the Friday after Thanksgiving, and I will be speaking in Nairobi Sunday the 26th through Sunday, December the 3rd, from 10 to 1:30. This is primarily pastors, evangelists, and teachers, and then from 3 to 6 is a general population conference. They call it a crusade. We'll call it a conference. And then I leave from Nairobi to Nakuru, which is 90 miles from Nairobi, but as I understand, it's about a day's travel. Even though it's just 90 miles, it's almost a day's travel, and the way that you have to travel through it. And so then I go to Nakuru, Kenya, and I will be speaking, leave here on December Sunday. Then I'll be speaking Wednesday, 6 December, through Sunday, 10 December. They're setting up 8 sessions a day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I'll be speaking at most of the sessions, especially the night ones. The pastor in the group in Nairobi is John Adel, and then the pastor in Nakuru, Charles Arunga. And so this will be my schedule of teaching in Africa. We will not have services the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So many people are going to be gone, and so we're not going to meet, but we will meet the next following Sunday. We will not meet during the week, Tuesdays and Wednesday services, classes, but we will meet the 3rd of December, and we will meet the 10th of December, and then I'll be back the 17th of December from that. Now, if you want kind of a update, what we'll do is either I'll email one email to Carol McGrath or do one of those kind of deals where everybody's name is on there and just kind of keep you posted every few days of what's going on if you want to do that. But I have to have your email address if you want to do that. So this is what's going on here. I don't know what's going to happen financially. I don't know what's going to happen with all of this. We're already setting up things. There's people wanting us in Ghana and Pakistan. Pakistan's real hot. The guys wanting to translate all of our stuff and wants to have a conference. India and Amsterdam, back in Amsterdam. The Philippines. And so a lot of talk, but, you know, all of those things are going to take money, so we'll just see what God is going to do in all of this. But anyway, this is what we have committed to. And as far as the remainder of this year is concerned, so please be in prayer for the people attending, that the Spirit will start working right now on their souls and preparing them even now. And for all of this, be in prayer for myself and Ian. Ian's going to go and do some of the teaching, particularly here where there are 8 classes all day. And so please be in prayer for our health and our voice and those kinds of things. And so please bear all of this in mind in your prayers. Continue to be in prayer for the churches in Miami. They're still reaping a lot of benefit from the week that I spent there. So there's a lot of these kinds of things that are going on. And so please bear all of this in mind.
Are you having somebody come in here for us?
What we're going to do, we talked about the Sunday of communion. We'll have communion. And I want the Sunday before I'm back, which will be the 10th, see if Brian can come. Now, if Leslie and I were talking about maybe just doing something else that one Sunday, but I don't know. What do y'all want to do that one Sunday of communion? Do you want to just come and have John and Jim officiate communion and just do some talking or something with communion? Do you want me to see if Brian can come in for communion Sunday also? See if Brian will come?
Yeah, I mean, if he's got Brian
to come in, yeah. Okay. I'll see what I can do, and I'm definitely going to try to see if we can get him to Sunday before. That way, maybe get y'all back.
You don't have to worry about it. We've
got
this
to
do it
tonight. Okay. Whoa! All right! And so... Okay, that's what we're doing there, and even though we won't be, you know, having full deal, you know, the finances still have to be there to pay the bills. Now let's talk about prayer. definitely be in prayer for Africa, be in prayer for Miami, the churches there, and for here, for each other here, during this time frame especially. So those are very important areas of prayer. Now, as far as the here is concerned, let's continue to be in prayer for John Harvey's father, Gene. John, give us a kind of an update. This morning, he went in, so kind of give us what's occurring now.
We took him exploratory surgery this morning. I'm assuming he's bladder. And the doctor said it's a very aggressive tumor, maybe in the bloodstream and perhaps in other organs of the body. So we're going to do an MRI tomorrow, the next day, and then make the decision Thursday, Friday.
Okay. So please be in prayer for Gene Harvey and John and the family. Wes, what would you like to share with us in regard to Chris and what's going on in our prayer and your son Wes? How did his operation go?
Wes's operation went well, a lot better.
Those of you that may not know, what did you call the operation of?
It's an ACL.
ACL, and they took the, what about a corpse?
They took the ACL out of the
deceased. And put it into his leg, all right. Powerful.
He's doing fairly well, much better than the last.
Good. Okay.
He's doing well, and Chris is doing well
under
the circumstances.
Okay.
He's going to be away for probably a year.
Okay. What would be our prayer?
Just we will continue to look up and know where
his source is from. Do you have an address if some of these people are prone to writing cards where the. So if you can let us know as soon as possible so that those that do want to just write encouragement, because some people here do, and so we can do that. All right. Carrie, your mom?
She's doing pretty good. Like I said, she had another round of tests today. And it was Papa Diamond did an X-ray, and I think it was like 65 different X-rays. But the last test they did last week was good. The heart condition. One more test to go tomorrow, and then we'll know if they're going to end. To be strong enough to undergo the surgery to put in the artificial artery.
Okay.
That's more or less what we're waiting
on.
Everything else is looking pretty good.
Okay. Good.
And actually, she got almost off of oxygen, too.
Good. All right. Does anybody else have any prayer requests that we need to make note of? Okay. You know, a lot of times it may sound like this, you know, we've gone through John Harvey's father and Terry's mother and Wes with his leg and things, but just remember also in your prayers of praise and thanksgiving, the whole Miami thing is just a whole center of praise and thanksgiving, the African opportunity of presenting the gospel as we understand it, and it's seen walking by faith, but I'm really, really, really so happy with all of the well, it's all for Jim, all right. Jim, remember what Kenny Davis said? So you don't get the slobber all over you? The little balls coming out. And Jim and I used to, man, a comedian, and he would talk about people on the front row got the little spitballs out of his mouth. Yeah, there are a lot of things to be in praise about and a lot of things to be in thanks about. And so we need to continue to remember that along with it. Okay, and your mom? Good, okay. Anything else that we want to... Please remember to be in prayer for the Langstons, Jeff and Betty, and their daughter, and the battle or the journey that she's going through. I got another one I'd like you to be in prayer for, and those of you that do write cards. Over in the gym, I've come to know a family fairly well. We meet, we talk. When I say we meet, we've eaten together sometimes after eating. Rick and Carol Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A. And last Saturday night, their 19-year-old daughter, who goes to college and works, was driving back home and had a head-on collision. And I went to the hospital Sunday afternoon. I got home, and and they told me on the answering machine, so I went to Parkland, and it was, I don't know how the parents were, Rick and Carol were just so composed to look at their daughter. Her whole body was just so mangled, nose, her eyes, her head, mouth, with everything in it, and then all disfigured there. But none of the main, the brain, the heart, and the lung were all okay. But broken legs, arms, shoulder, head, just so much that they're going to have to be doing with the girl's name is Hannah, H-A-N-N-A Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A, and if you're prone to write, she's at Parkland Hospital and will be there for some time. She's in the ICU unit at Parkland. ICU unit, that's redundant. She's an ICU at Parkland. And so that the dad and mom are they are Christians and walk by faith, and we've talked a lot about walking in the Spirit by faith, and they're like-minded with that. And so please be in prayer, and if you are prone to writing, just as you write, tell them who you are, and just a little words of encouragement and to Hannah and Rick and Carol Rivera. So please bear that in mind. Is there anything else that we need to bring before him in prayer? Okay. Now, next week is Thanksgiving. We're going to meet next Tuesday. We're not going to meet next Wednesday. I leave for Africa Friday, and I need to just, this is all personal for next Friday, next Wednesday. I just need to be some time with Mom before I leave for Africa. And I can't spend all day Thanksgiving with her, leaving early Friday. So I'm going to go down to be down there Wednesday, and so I can come back Thursday after we eat. So we will meet Tuesday, though. So we'll meet this Sunday. We will meet Tuesday. We will not meet Wednesday. And we will not meet the following Sunday or during the week. But the following Sunday after that, we will have services here. So any problem on the schedule? Sometimes people always say, now, are we meeting Sunday or not? You know, yes, we are going to meet this coming Sunday. We are on. So, you know, if you don't want to come and you say, oh, I forgot, I thought we were, then that's okay. But I want to make it very clear that we are going to have service this coming Sunday. Yes. Probably call him tonight or in the morning. Okay. I will know tomorrow night. Okay. Yeah. So I'll know that. I'm going to Hot Springs. They wanted one class before the year ended. And they seem to have some lot of new people. I say a lot. I don't know how many that is. So I'm going to squeeze it in, really. But I'm going to go to Hot Springs Thursday and teach Thursday night and Friday night there. And so before I leave. And so... tell you one of the fun stories of if you care what God does. There's a lady there in Hot Springs, and just a wonderful lady. Her name is Ann, and so probably 75 to 80, somewhere around 75, 80, but very weak. Very weak. I don't know what all the problems are, physical problems, but very weak. And she was one of the real first reasons that I continued going, because she just, you know, when I first started teaching, walking by faith in the Spirit, you know, tears started coming to her eyes, and she saw the whole thing and did not have anger about what she had been doing for most of her Christian life. And she accepted Christ in her adult life, but was just so excited about it. And she has trouble. She's living in an upstairs like apartment, and very gingerly gets up there every time and down. And right after high school in the early 20s, she was dating this guy. They were engaged. It didn't work. And they both went on their own way and married other people. Well, he called her out of the blue about maybe, I don't know if it's been a full year or not. And they've been carrying on wild romance, and she's gone to visit him and going to go back around there and go to Florida and stay a month with his whole family, and they're just having a ball, talking and enjoying each other, and do what? Yeah, it's hope. Always hope. As long as you can breathe. And so she's very excited, and she has shared with him the spiritual journey, because when they were dating and all, she had not gone the spiritual journey, and he had become a Christian and was so thrilled and just delighted with her. He wasn't intimidated by her knowledge. He was just, oh yeah, okay, and it made sense to him, and so just one of those fun little things that happen in life. So her name is Ann Lister. So, but okay, let's spend some time in prayer together. Please remember the things that we've mentioned here. We've come together in agreement. Those in our assembly, Africa here, John Harvey's father, June, Hazel, and the Langstons and the Cuddles, and then just be in prayer and praise and pray for one another. Hannah Rivera and her family, I'm hoping sometime they might come and visit with us, and so just be in prayer for them and for each other, and what God is doing in this assembly. We're small, we're humble, but God seems to be using us, and that's something to give thanks for. So let's spend some time in prayer. If you're so led to pray aloud, please do. If not, then let's just pray together. Let's pray. Okay, we're in the midst of a very important study in dealing with spiritual love, and we've gone from a very important, very personal application, and that personal application being the type of things that beat against the spiritual love, and we've noted kind of using human love as the framework of this type of thing, but we've noted 21 things that just beat constantly against love, and human love weakens under all of these things, the sins of others, the failures of others, disappointments by others, the attacks by others, deceit by others, the failures, and we just went through a multitude of things and of dealing with the things that just keep pressing against spiritual love, the love that God the Holy Spirit gives us, but also human love, the type of things that can just finally weaken, indeed destroy. There's a passage in Scripture that we'll be looking at, and that is that love can be destroyed. Human love can be destroyed. And they're just things you can just keep beating it and keep pressing against it. And it just, with every blow, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And finally, even in romantic love, and using that as our primary example of love, or family love, if you please, but romantic love, husband and wife, even if there is not a severing of the marriage, the love is gone, and people often just stay together for a number of reasons. We won't go into that. But the love is just constantly beaten down. And what we're looking at right now is that quality, that characteristic of spiritual love. And we're dealing with spiritual love, and that is, we call it spiritual love because this is a love that is given to a new spiritual creature by God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, spiritual love. It can only come through a new spiritual creature, and it can only be given as a fruit of God the Holy Spirit, therefore spiritual love. I have been taught by pastors and seminary professors and da-da-da-da-da that when you generally think of things of love, it's often put into that category of emotion. And then the next step from that is understanding that emotion is weak, without standards, and da-da-da-da, and therefore righteousness and the justice and all of this has the standards. And then people go to such things to build a human relationship with such thing as trust. If we look at Scripture and we allow the Spirit to open our eyes in Scripture, we begin to see something different, though. Spiritual love is that which has the norms and standards. Spiritual love is that which gives to us strength. It is spiritual love that makes us strong if you will study the Scriptures. It is not in the sense of what is portrayed to us of righteousness and all of the other things that we normally think about as having the norms and standards, there is nothing in Scripture that is said to give to you such things as long suffering, such things as is going to carry you through all the sufferings that occur in life and keep you being transformed into the image of Christ. Trust doesn't do this. There's a moment that you build a relationship on trust and the trust is broken, by definition. By definition, if I build something on trust, the trust is broken, what I built on it is broken. That's just simple principle. If I build a marriage on trust and you break the trust and I can't trust you, it's over. Trust isn't strong. Trust is no stronger than the one you're trusting. That's why the only object of our trust is God. For only God is trustworthy. Humans are not trustworthy. God doesn't trust us in this sense that we're talking about. We trust God. And the reason that that gives to us strength is because of God. But when it comes to human relationships, the Scriptures make it very clear we build it on spiritual love. And spiritual love takes all these things that we study that beat against it. And just the first thing we're looking at, the very first thing we're looking at is that spiritual love is long-suffering. It does suffer. Love suffers, by definition. Now, what is the issue? How much suffering will love take? A parent's love is going to suffer. Husband-wife love is going to suffer. Family love is going to suffer. Friendship love is going to suffer. Love is going to suffer. That's why people think it's an emotion. It's going to suffer. But people, the secret is how long and how much suffering is going to take. Spiritual love is long suffering. That means it can cause all of these things. If we just take here spiritual love and we studied all those things that just constantly beat against it, that will weaken and destroy human love eventually. You've just had enough. I've had enough. It's over. I'm building a wall around me to protect me. I'm walking, I'm running, I'm getting out of here. Whatever you decide to do, I've got to protect myself and get out of here. I can't just stay here in this love and be beaten like this in my soul and in my life. But see, God has given to us something where we don't have to run. We don't have to build this wall around us that takes love out of our life. A life without love. We studied that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And there is a life without spiritual love. We didn't even get into a life without love in human life. It is just a tragic way to live as a life without love. If you saw spiritually, a life without love, you say nothing, do nothing, are nothing, as far as the spiritual warfare is concerned. You're nothing. A life without love in the spiritual realm, your life is nothing when it's all over and said. I don't care how much you've done, you didn't do it in the power of the Spirit. If you did it in the power of the Spirit, you would have had the fruit of spiritual love. So a life without love, you say nothing, do nothing, are nothing in the spiritual realm. And what a tragic way that is. When it doesn't have to be that way, because He's made it so simple to get this love. Walk by faith in the Spirit pours His fruit into us. Now what we're looking at, having looked at all of this, we're looking for a few moments at what is it about spiritual love? Can we look at it and find out some things that will benefit us by doing so, not just dissecting or looking into this for the sake of looking into it? Can we learn something that will help us if we look at what is it about spiritual love that allows it to take all of this and not weaken? That allows it to take all of this and to carry us right on through life and continue to love. And that's where we are in the midst of our study right now, so let's pick it up right there at that point. Now, we have finished some five things here, and I don't know why I stopped with having one left, but I guess I didn't want to rush it. But we noted one, love can suffer. Characteristics of love, that love does suffer. And we have to bear this in mind in romantic love, human love, and in spiritual love. Love suffers. If we just took what God is trying to express to us all through the Old Testament, the anguish of God that goes through the Old Testament when Israel withstands His love. That was the whole study of Hosea, you recall, and his wife. Then more another point, too, spiritual love must be of such magnitude to endure this long time of suffering. So we studied these types of things. And now we move to the sixth point here. Spiritual love is long-suffering, and this is where we left off, so Spiritual love is long-suffering in that it endures all of these pressures. We studied 21 practical things that happen in our life. By no means covered them all, but we took 21 things that happen in our normal marriage, our normal lives, in family, friendships, church, life, that just constantly beat against love to where we just lose it. Spiritual love is long-suffering in that it will endure all of these pressures without, one, reacting, which essentially romantic love does, two, without leaving the spirit life, and three, very important, without revenge. Eventually people, even in love, that's why the old ideal of how close is love and hate in the human realm. You can just, you can have a person in a matter of the same, maybe even the same 60 seconds, I love you, and then go into the rage of murder. It's that close, and somebody says, yeah, they really love. Yeah, they did, in the human realm. Love suffers that way. And there's nothing to protect it, but spiritual love there is. So spiritual love is long-suffering in that it can endure all of these things without weakening, without reacting, without leaving the spiritual life, without weakening itself, and without revenge. So it allows you, therefore, it being spiritual love, being long-suffering, the first impact given to us in 1 Corinthians 13, it allows you then to, this is so important, it allows you to hold on to all that you have in Christ. Now, what do I mean? Let's take, for our study, let's take a married couple, and they have a lot built. So I can show you what I mean here. The things that we have in Christ in our life. Okay, they have their marriage, they have children, they have a history, they have a lot of things, financially, life, memories, all of this stuff. Okay, then these pressures start beating against it, and there's reaction, leaving, boom, it ends in divorce. So what has happened now is lost all that had been given to them because the love just was finally beaten down. Okay, what happens in spiritual love? Because love is long-suffering, people, now listen, because this is very important to you. Because love is long-suffering, not only does it do all the things we just talked about in handling all of this pressure, but one of the primary reasons is so that we can maintain everything that God has given to us in His grace and love in our lives. If He didn't give us this kind of love by walking in the Spirit, and then we reacted and left, we would lose all that God had given to us to that point in spiritual love, the relationship and the memories and the hope and all the things that He has given to us in our relationship, maybe even the wonderful things like walking in the Spirit. I'm just through with the whole church. I'm through with everything. And I'm angry at God. I'm angry at God for what He's done in this marriage. And so you lose, when you do that, then all the things that you have are in vain. Galatians chapter 3. They're all in vain now because you've walked away. Well, think about what God has given to us. He's given to us something so strong and so powerful that we can maintain and keep everything that He has given to us without walking away, even under all of these pressures that work against our love. And that it just so happens that people get so frustrated and they walk and they leave and they just throw away a lifetime, decades of their adult life or something, because the love was just beaten down. It was just beaten down. And various ways and things that we could talk about if that was our study. But spiritual love is long-suffering. And one of the most wonderful things about this is that it allows you to hold on to what you have in Christ. Now, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that, because I'm going to show you how important this is to God, that the things that God has given to us, He wants us to maintain and to enjoy in our earthly life. I'm going to show you. Love does not boast. First of all, love is not jealous. Now, what happens with that? That's coming up. Love is long-suffering, love is kind, and then love is not jealous. All right, what's going on in the inside? What's going on the inside? The jealousy's on the inside. This allows God, then, to be able to bless others without it disrupting your spiritual life. People are so phenomenal what God has given to us when He's given us spiritual love. And yet books are written by a psychiatrist, a Christian psychologist, a Christian therapist, Christian counselors, Christian this, how to handle this and how to handle that. It's simple. God has given it to us. It's called the fruit of the Spirit of love, which we just, for simplicity, spiritual love. He's given it to us. But why are we jealous? Other people getting something. God's doing something in their life, in our minds, and it causes us to become turmoil inside. He can't even bless others without us getting all tore up inside so that we lose what He's given to us. And the next one is what? God, love does not boast. What is this? God allows Him to, this allows God to bless you without you getting disoriented and start bragging, boasting, and taking it and losing its place. This love is so strong. This love is so powerful, people. It's not emotionalism. It's one of the strongest things God has given us through the power of the Spirit. Of the divine mind, those nine fruit of the Spirit, this is the first one. It's always the capsule of all of them. But they're all powerful. But if we just take spiritual love that is our study here, it allows you to enjoy what God has given to you in your Christian life. Without losing it, without all those things happening inside your soul. So this is, it becomes extremely powerful in God's plan of what God is doing. Okay, next let's cover the property of long-suffering. The property of long-suffering that becomes very important here. The property of long-suffering that allows it to be long-suffering. The property of long-suffering in spiritual love, so that we can have an understanding of what is going on in that respect. And the first thing here that makes it long-suffering, that property that makes it long-suffering, first of all, the standard of this love makes it long-suffering. What is the standard of this love? The standard of this love goes back to what we studied in great detail, so we're just going to do this in mentioning, in John 13, 34 and 35, love one another. What's the next word? Love one another as I have loved you. That's the standard. Love is long-suffering because of its standard, and its standard is as Jesus Christ loves you. Okay? I don't want to show our hands. Don't want to embarrass anyone on either way. Those of you that would raise your hand, those of you that would not raise your hand. But let's just take the last 3 hours. How many of you can say, I have been in the filling of the Spirit totally and fully for the last 3 hours and I've not stepped out of it? Okay, if we're honest, we know probably, you know, more than once or twice. Especially if you had to drive here. And if you didn't have to drive, you had to walk, and that would do it too. For different reasons. Aren't you thankful that His love is long-suffering to us? Aren't you thankful? I just took 3 hours. Let's take 24 hours. And let's don't be self-righteous about it. Let's don't talk about big sins. Because people, we have seen now, very carefully, any sin breaks fellowship. Anytime we stop walking by faith, boom, fellowship's gone. What do we want to do in the human relationships in this kind of tension? It adds. It just keeps beating. The more there's tension in this relationship and in this marriage and in this friendship or family, whatever it is, it just seems to beat against that love. Aren't we glad His love is long-suffering toward us? Toward me individually. So I look at the standard of this love as He loved me. So what's the standard of this love that the Holy Spirit has given to us? It's the same standard of the love that He gives to the humanity of Jesus Christ. That same love is given to us so that we love just like He did. And He doesn't stop loving. People, friends will stop loving you. Family will stop loving you. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't. And Jesus Christ doesn't. They don't stop. And one of the reasons why is this kind of love. God the Father's love is long-suffering. It's divine. God the Holy Spirit's love is long-suffering. God the Son's love is long-suffering. But the love given to the humanity of Christ by the Holy Spirit is long-suffering. And we're to love just as He loved. by that same power. So this love is long-suffering, people, because of the standard of it. Secondly, this love is long-suffering because of the source. The source of this love. What's the source of this love? I'm asking you, what is the source of this love? The Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about human love. What is the source of a person's own human love? What's its source? Well, that person. That person. So, a person, an individual's love is dependent upon that individual. That's why I have made great strides to get you away from thinking about spiritual love in the realm of integrity, the love of integrity. This is not integrity love. This is love of the Holy Spirit. Now, human love can be based on that. And it praises man. But even the best can be slowly beaten down, handled differently maybe, but it can be beaten down to where this, you know, I'm through. This, you know, you may not even leave. Just build this wall and protect you. You think it's protected. See, if people build this wall against love, they think they're being protected. The problem, people, is a life without love. Now, if that to you is protection, okay. But we have looked at a life without love. And if that's what you want, okay. But what spiritual love does for us, it's from the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the source of this love is the Holy Spirit. Do you think that God, the Holy Spirit, grows weak? No. He's God. Eternal. Immutable. God. Bring in all that you know about God. He is immutable. What does immutability mean? Unchanging. What does unchanging mean? Non-weakening love. Think of what God has given to us if we will walk by faith in the Spirit and allow Him to give us spiritual love. It's His love. Remember, every now and then we'll bring you back to this in this study because it's so important. And I know pastors who do other little tricks with this, but it doesn't work if you study the grammar of the text. You and I are not long-suffering. What's the subject? You and I are not long-suffering. What is the subject? Love. Love is long-suffering. The love that the Holy Spirit pours into us as His fruit is long-suffering. Now, people like to play different kind of games. You know, you're long-suffering, and I'm kind, and I'm... No. I'm not going to get on people to do that. I want you to think clearly, though. You and I are not kind. You and I are not long-suffering. You and I are not all these things. His love poured into us is these things, people. It's His love. Now, if you want to stand back and say, well, even God's love, or even spiritual love, da-da-da-da-da-da, think about what you're saying. You're saying that God, the Holy Spirit, immutable, eternal, His love weakens, His love this, His love that. And I don't think you want to do that. So, the characteristic, the quality of this love that makes this long-suffering to it, one, it's the loving as Christ loved. Two, its source is God, the Holy Spirit. You are in communion with the Holy Spirit. He's pouring this love into you. And this love does this to you. It's what this love does. People, and I don't have what I'm speaking to take the picture. My big old truck. My big old truck doesn't take all the shock and everything. What does? It's a little shock absorber they put in there. So I have the super ones put in. You can get different kinds of shock absorbers. You can get a car or truck and put in a super one. And what does that happen? That shock absorber is just taking all the beating. And you're just kind of going like this. And that shock absorber is just getting tore up inside. It's beating and beating and beating. And guess what? It takes it. It keeps taking it. It keeps taking it. It's what spiritual love is. It's a spiritual shock absorber to all the shocks and the hurts and the pains that get to us in life. And love bears all this suffering without weakening, without reacting, without revenge, without changing. What he has given to us is something phenomenal, people. You don't need to go buy 15 books. You don't need to go to seminars. You don't need all of that. It's free. It's powerful. It's called love, his love. And it'll do all of these things. So God the Holy Spirit is the source of this love, and he just doesn't tire. Man tires. God doesn't tire. God doesn't weaken. Look at the whole history of Israel through the whole Old Testament. It's all about what? The long suffering of God's love. You just want to put a title to the nation of Israel. The long suffering of God's love. You know what a lot of people put there? Faithfulness of God's love. You can put faithfulness of God's love or the long suffering of God's love. It just keeps on going. And people, that's what it does for your life and my life. Now, it's not thousands of years, 2,000 years like it is through the church, the history of Israel, but our lifetime, my lifetime, God's love has been long suffering. Long suffering. Am I sorry about that in the sense of that? Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm glad, I'm thankful his love has been that way. Because there is my confidence and my hope, and your confidence and your hope. What if his love wasn't? What if his love was not long suffering? A lot of us would be gone by now. A lot of us would be out in total despair by now. Now, I know one or two of you would be really close to God and everything would be fine. Man, I'm happy for you. But a lot of us know it'd be all over for us if God's love was not long suffering. So, this is something to be thankful for. Third! The third thing, because of the direction of this love, because of the direction of this love, this we have to go back to our study. First of all, the direction toward God. Spiritual love directed toward God. Our love is long-suffering because it is directed toward God. It is of great magnitude because of that relationship and that love that we have toward God. And so spiritual love protects you from reacting against the things that go on in time because we're oriented to God. Let me give an example. Prodigal son. If the old man thinks about his son, it's over. The bum took his inheritance. He made his decision. Get his pictures out of the house. We don't own him anymore. I've given him his share of the inheritance. I've given him this, and he's walked out, and look what the reports we get back of where he is and what he's doing. You know, just to heck with him. When your love is directed toward God, all the things that the prodigal son is doing doesn't even bother you. Suffering, yes, but it's not going to weaken your love. My love's there. I'm just standing at the door, and whenever he wants to come back, he can come back. So our love toward God is the first of the directions. Secondly, our direction toward Jesus Christ. Love one another as Christ loved you. So first of all, we have a direction toward Christ's love. Christ's love directed toward us is just the strength of this love in loving one another without this love reacting. And that brings us to the third thing, our love toward one another. People, if Jesus Christ's love toward another believer, no matter what they are, who they are, and what they do, does not weaken, why do you think your love should? If Christ doesn't walk away from them, why should we walk away? If Christ doesn't stop loving, why should we stop loving? Unless you want to go in the position that you can actually lose the love of Christ. Now, if that's your theological position, fine. And that is the theological position of a lot of people. You can just get to the point where God doesn't love you and God doesn't use you and God doesn't want anything to do with you. And that's your view of God, fine. There goes your hope for yourself, and there goes your whole concept and thinking about love, too. But if Jesus Christ loved one another as I have loved you, if Jesus Christ's love doesn't stop for you, why do you think your spiritual love is going to stop for another person? Your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your friends, whatever it may be. How does God's love for them stop? It doesn't stop. It keeps right on going. His love for them doesn't weaken. So other than our love toward them, their position. And people, what have we seen with that phrase, one another? That means another believer in Christ, another of the same kind, another believer in Christ. That's whom you are loving. Please remember that the one that is sinning against you, your husband, your wife, your friend, relative, whatever, worker, associate, whatever it may be, they're not the one, the one sinning against you is not the one you're going to spend eternity with. You are not going to spend eternity with anyone's old man, anyone's carnal nature. That will die and return to the rest of the earth. You are going to spend eternity with the new man that that person is in Christ. That's the one we continue loving. Love one another, another one in Christ. That's who you are going to spend eternity with. So the direction of this love has a great deal to do with the strength of this love. Next, another reason that love is long-suffering is because of the magnitude of this love. Now, what is magnitude? Magnitude is the measurability of love. Love can be measured. How do we? What kind of phrases do we have in Scripture for that? You must love me more than. You must love me more than you love other things. So things like that. No greater love. What is greater? Magnitude. So love has magnitude. Love can be measured. What is the measurability of spiritual love? It is of the ultimate magnitude of love. Ultimate. See, we can take human love, and human love has certain magnitudes of love, certain measurability of love. I love you up to this point. You get to, you learn about yourself. You learn about yourself even, let's take human love. Everybody has their little barometers of how you measure your own love. What would you give up? What would you do? I remember as a teenager, my measure of my love was very simple. Because I started working in the sixth grade. I had to earn all my money, any money that I spent on a date, any money I went out with. And I measured it by, as long as in my soul I never mind spending money on this gal, I figured it's okay. But when I started going, you know, I don't want to spend $20 going, you know, wherever we might go to eat. Well, that told me something. So it was that, you know, whatever the amount I had to work, da-da-da-da-da. So we have different things. Some people it's money, some people it's time, some people it's how much suffering they bring into my life, some people, everybody has different things they're going to kind of go by. How much happiness they bring or not bring, what pleasures they bring or not bring, what they bring into it, what they don't bring, just all kinds of things. The measurability in human lives determines a lot of long, how long it will suffer. This just isn't worth suffering for. You just don't bring anything into this deal and I'm through. Now let's talk about spiritual life. What's the magnitude of spiritual life? The magnitude of spiritual love is at the greatest of magnitude. The injuries and all the things wrong done to you, or that you perceive as being done to you and against you throughout your life, are endured by the magnitude of spiritual love without weakening that love itself. That's one of the characteristics of this love. It's phenomenal, people. It's miraculous. Let's face it. This is just miraculous. Unbelievable that love can be this. That's why sometimes when I haven't done it here so much because you're used to all of this stuff, but I know especially when I was, I did in Miami, but the best one was in the Bahamas. And we were going through and I built up to this point. And I just said, you know, you reached the point where, you know, you don't even want to love that bum this way. I love this little lady. You'd have thought she was a plant, but I planted her in the audience because she says, well, I know I don't want to love him that much, and I want to go down and hug her. And it's right. You don't want to. So you're walking in the Spirit. Not only, see, that's why this is so important. Not only can I not love this way, there are times when I don't want to love this way because I don't deserve it. And that's the whole beauty of spiritual love. If deservance goes back to the cross, you get your eyes off of that person, and you got your eyes on the cross, got your eyes on Christ, got your eyes on how He loves, not on how they love. That's so important. Human love looks at that person and how they love as to how I'm going to love them. Spiritual love does not look at them. Spiritual love looks at how does he love me, that's how I'm going to love you. He doesn't love me if I'm good and not love me if I'm bad. Human love does. I love you and all I'm getting back from you is pain. And I've had enough. Because you're looking this way. But what does spiritual love do? Spiritual love is this way. How he loves me. It's not based on what I get from you. It may be continual pain as we give God. Knowledge of the prodigal son. Knowledge of Israel. Knowledge of Hosea's wife. A lot of analogies going through the scriptures in this. And what does this love do? It's right on and on. Same magnitude, same flow. Now, I may not come to the benefit of it. I may not come under the benefit of it, but the love is there. He may not reveal himself to me, but his love is there. And the only reason he doesn't, why? Because I won't let him. I don't want to be under that love. When we're carnal, we made a decision. What do we do when we're in carnality? What we have decided is, I do not want the love of God. I do not want his love in my life. That's what, every time you and I stop walking by faith and going to sin, what are we saying? I do not want his love in my life right now. If you think about it, that's what we're doing. That's one of the reasons we don't want to walk in sin. It's one of the reasons we want to walk, continue to walk by faith. So that we continue to be a benefactor of this love. Experience his love. His love is always there. You just want to experience it. Like the old gravity scene that we've seen of the earth and the plane. You're not aware of it. The push and pull is still there. You're just taking yourself so far away from it, you're not even aware of it. Until it comes with a big club and hits you over the head. But this is what the spiritual love does in the magnitude of this kind of love. So the things that are happening in our life do not weaken it for these kinds of reasons. So the magnitude of spiritual love is of such magnitude that it sustains itself. It is self-sustaining, people. This is so important. Please get this in your mind as we close. This is so important. Now, let's take human love. Often, now maybe not so much in parents and children, but often in human love, we'll take romantic love, husband, wife, and romantic love. Often it needs the input. It needs something to keep it going. Keep that love going. And you've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of books and stuff on how to keep love going. You know, they've got all these kinds of things in our society and Valentine's. You can just pick up, you know, 1,000 ways to put love back in your marriage. And they list 1, 2, 3, 4, 998, you know, and all this kind of stuff. How to put it off. It needs it. It just needs it, needs it, needs it, needs it, needs it, needs it. People, spiritual love is self-sustaining force. A self-sustaining force given by the Holy Spirit. God doesn't go to anywhere else for life. He is life, therefore he is love. And so when you have this love flowing through you, it is self-sustaining. It doesn't depend on the input of the object. It doesn't depend on that. And if the object keeps beating against it, yes, it'll suffer, but it isn't going to weaken because its momentum, its magnitude does not depend on input. People, let's be sure we're going what's going on. On the normal understanding of human love, it does need that. If I were doing a class on human love, it does need to be motivated. It does need it, that input. If you just keep on, and the spouse or the boyfriend girl just don't respond, and eventually you just say, okay, fine. It's over. I quit crying. I quit talking. I quit this. I quit that. Whatever it is. I'm tired. Spiritual love doesn't need that. Think about the miracle of spiritual love. It doesn't need some input from out here. The only thing variable of spiritual love is you and I walking by faith in the Holy Spirit so that he can just continue to pour it. That's the only thing. But this love itself doesn't need any added emphasis to keep it going. But we get it so confused with human love because people, human love does need that. It does need that. Or to die. does need that input and that to keep it going and that encouragement and that response, if you please, and that initiation, if you please. But not spiritual love. Spiritual love doesn't need it. This person can keep beating and beating and beating. All those 21 things we saw, spiritual love continues to love. And I'm just setting you up for what's coming next. What happens when that happens inside your soul? You're able to be kind to them. Kind to them. I don't want to be kind to them. Look at the way they treat me. That's the sound of human love. It's not the sound of spiritual love. It's the nature of spiritual love to be kind. I'm going to show you that. It's its nature to be kind. It doesn't depend on the other person. It doesn't depend on you whether or not I'm going to be kind. Kindness generally is when, if we're going to talk about kindness in a lot of the gym, if you had to think through and write down a definition of kindness, it's a hard word to define. It's a difficult word to define, kindness. You think about it. What does kindness mean? But you're going to find kindness is often when it's least expected. That's when kindness really shines. When we're talking about real kindness. Is there, undeserving, undeserved. That's when kindness is kindness. Doesn't depend on anything else. One of the most beautiful examples of the word kindness, and one of the things you do in Greek, in word studies, is if you can find in the Bible, especially stay in the Bible, you can find a non-theological use of a word, it really helps you to get a grip of a word. And when our Savior calls in this one particular verse, he calls some wine. He calls the wine kind. Now, how in the world can wine be kind? What does that mean? And if we can grasp that, we're going to begin to understand how love is kind. And it's undeserved. It doesn't matter. When is wine kind? I'll tell you when wine is kind. You got a lot of people, say that two people sitting at a table. We'll pick two or three people. One person has a palate for wine, knows the difference in all the wines. We got another person, they couldn't tell the difference between a very good wine and Ripple. And it wouldn't make any difference to them either, whichever one they drunk. Now, what is the nature of wine? The nature of wine is not this. Well, to this person who knows when I taste good, I'm really going to taste good. But I'm not going to work to taste so good for this other bum who doesn't know and doesn't care what I taste like. No, that other person is going to receive the same quality of taste as the person who can appreciate it. That's kindness. It's the kindness. It's always there. Deserved, undeserved. So we're going to be late. And how can that be? How can love be that way? Because you don't want to be kind to somebody that isn't to you, somebody that's rude, somebody that just doesn't care, somebody that's, you know, all the stuff that happens in human life. Just don't want to be. Spiritual love wants to be. Spiritual love doesn't make a decision to be or not be. It can't help it. Just like wine. Wine cannot help but be taste that good for everybody. It isn't going to change from one drink to one glass to another. Pour out of this bottle, it isn't going to change in this glass and that glass as it approaches somebody's mouth. By its very nature, it's going to be what it is. Spiritual love is always going to be kind. That's what spiritual love is. But the only way you're going to get that kindness coming out, if its source, or not its source, but the reservoir of it, meaning your soul, is long-suffering. Because people, if you and I are angry inside, kindness isn't going to come out. If we're mad inside, kindness isn't going to come out. If we're bitter inside, bitterness is what's going to come out. But if we're long-suffering in our soul, inside, what's going to come out is kindness. That's the other side of the coin of these first two. Long-suffering inside, what comes out in you that's going to be seen? Kindness. How can I see love? I see the kindness of it. People walk in. How are they going to see love? Everybody sitting here, oh, I'm filled with spirit and I have love. They don't see that. That's like saying I'm saved. Nobody knows he's saved or not. I know he's walking in the spirit or not, generally. But spiritual love is kind. Spiritual love. Hi, do you need to know where this is? That is. Da-da-da-da. Can we help you? Da-da-da. This is what goes on here. Just conversation. You want some coffee, donuts, whatever it may be. kindness. But no spiritual love exists that will demonstrate itself. That's why James can say, I know that your faith is dead. I'm not judging you in the sense of judging. I can look at this congregation, he said. I'm not following you to your homes. I'm not following you to the beer joints after a club. I'm just looking here in the congregation. You have no spiritual love. I know you're not walking by faith. I know it. There's no spirit love here. You show partiality. You fight with each other. There's no love. I can see it. I can see love. People came up, they do this, they do this, they do this. Could it be fake? Yeah, that could be fake. That's why a lot of people react to all of that. Because it's just, oh, how you doing? You know, the salesman standing there. But that doesn't take away from the fact that's what love does. And what love does and what love is. Okay. Any questions? Okay, we will continue here then. Next Tuesday night. Closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our study tonight has taken us right back to who and what you are, what kind of God you are. Jesus Christ came and said that I come to bring you to the Father, I come to show you the Father, I come to reveal the Father. So as we look at the way that Christ loved us, what we're seeing is the way that you love us. This is your love. This is the way you love. Scripture says that God is love. Your love is long-suffering. Father, we praise you for the God that you are. We praise you that you are love, and we praise you that your love is long-suffering. And Father, we praise you that you have provided a simple means for us to have this love by just giving to us your Spirit to pour this same love in us. We can have this love toward one another, toward our husbands and wives and friends and relatives and people we come in contact with in life. Maybe even when we don't want to. But walk in the Spirit by faith, Father. This love will come out. This love will change the inside of our very being, creating an environment of long-suffering inside so that kindness can come out. Father, we praise you for the God you are in your Son's precious name. Amen.